Lord. Amen. For our first Bible reading, we shall turn together to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon in the Church Bible, if it helps, the page is page 1202, although the page number's not actually on the page because it's the beginning of a book. So it's near the end of the Bible. Page 1202, the page number being in the middle at the top of the other pages. Let us hear this portion of God's written word. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We shall now turn to the Gospel of Matthew and to the 8th chapter, page 980 in the Church Bibles. We begin reading at the first verse. Let us hear this portion of God's written word. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled, and he said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. "He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Now you'll see from the booklets that we're turning to verse 20 of the little book of Philemon. So we want to turn back, please, to Philemon in our Bibles, and we want to find verse 20, where we read, "Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." We shall pray together before we say anything further. Father, how we thank you for the witness of the psalmist of old, who declared that your law, your word, was more precious to him than silver and gold in his hands. Lord, we recognize that in every generation, men and women, boys and girls, prize having silver or gold in their hands. But how we thank you, Lord, that we've got something far more precious, namely your written word. And Lord, we're thankful that we have your written word translated into a language that we can understand, into our language, a language we often speak, a language we use every day. Lord, how we thank you for your precious, precious word. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't prize this possession as we ought. And teach us, Lord, always to bow before you, asking you, dear Lord, to help us to understand your word. For you've appointed that we're to live not by food alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. So show us, Lord, what you would have us know from these few words of Scripture to which we turn now. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to begin our survey of this verse by asking a very simple question. But it's a searching question. It's a question that will take you inside yourself, if you decide to respond to the request that I now place before you. And the request that I place before you is simply this. Would you please think about what it is that you want most in life? What do you desire most of all? What's your inner longing? Now, sometimes you may be very much aware of it. On other occasions, you may be so busy with matters domestic, professional, or social, that you lose sight of it just for a while. But the time will come when the inner yearning shows itself, reveals itself again. So what is it that human beings yearn for most of all? What do you long for most of all? May I suggest to you that it's precisely what the Apostle Paul is speaking of here in this verse of Scripture. Here he speaks of wanting to be refreshed in the inner man. But he doesn't just do that. He does something else as well. He spells out one source of refreshment for the inner being of each and every one of us. So come with me first of all to the second part of this verse. Then we're going to work backwards to the first part of verse 20. There in the second part, we hear him simply saying, in written words, this is a letter written by Paul to Philemon. Paul's in Rome, he's a prisoner. Philemon is in Colossae. There he is running a house church. There's a church that meets in his house. And Paul is writing to his friend Philemon, and he is simply saying to him, refresh my heart in Christ. Now, we do well to note that the word translated heart in the original talks about our innards, our bowels. That's the word that's used in some translations. You'll see that in the King James translation, for example. Refresh my bowels, he's saying in that translation, in Christ. Yes, it's a word that speaks of the very core of our being. If you have a tummy upset, you feel pretty off, don't you? It's as though something in the core of your body is not well, and of course it isn't if you've got a tummy upset. So using that simple illustration, you can begin to get to grips with the significance of the word that he's using here. And the modern translators have decided they'll talk about the heart of a person. There's a degree of confusion that can arise either way. Because if you talk about refreshing your bowels, somebody may think just in terms of your intestines. That's not what he's thinking about. He's thinking about the inner being, but he's referring to your bowels as though that is the very core of your being. And if you talk about the heart, somebody might think that they're talking about that organ of the body just to the left and near the middle of your body that is pumping blood round. And if it stops pumping blood round, that's you going to be laid in a coffin and in the grave. But no, he's not talking about that organ, but he's talking about that which keeps you going in everyday living. So the term that he uses takes us to the very core of our beings. The inner man is a term that we sometimes use. Or I suppose in days where feminism's had an influence, you have to think about the inner person. So what is it that Paul wants? Well, he, right at the core of his being, wants to be refreshed. Do you not want to be refreshed day in and day out? You grow weary with the pressures of everyday living. You grow weary, even bored with the chores. Oh, not again, I've got to dust or hoover the house. Not again, I've got to clean the car if I have one. Not again, have I got to go and do the weeding out there in the garden. There are times when you just don't feel like doing some of those things. You feel tired. You feel in need of refreshment. And believers day in and day out have an even greater need of refreshment. It's not for a drink to slake their thirst. It's not for a nice tasty meal to quench their hunger. What it is to know Christ. And it's to know Christ loving them and caring for them. Deep, deep down in their hearts. Refresh my heart in Christ. Paul is acknowledging that he is united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul knows that Philemon in Colossae is also united to the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't used to be, but they now are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing can sever them from their union with Jesus Christ. How have they come to be united with Jesus Christ? Through repentance and faith. through repentance and faith, not by works, not by their religious activities, not by their good intentions, not by their Bible reading or praying. All of those things are really important, not doubting that for one moment, but by faith. By faith. They have turned from relying upon themselves, from doing their own thing, to use the jargon of today, and they have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've cast all their cares upon him, because they know that it's only he who can get them to glory. It's only he who can reconcile them to God. There is no other way. Doesn't matter what belief system, religious system, what political system you embrace. If Jesus Christ is not at the center of it, and if you are not putting your trust in him, ultimately it's a cul-de-sac. It's a dead end. It will not lead to glory. But the Apostle Paul has found the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to know him, and he's come to be united with him. Now, can that be said of you, my friend? That's another personal question, isn't it? We began by asking the personal question, what's your inner longing? Now we're asking a very important question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know yourself united with him? Do you know yourself acceptable to God through him and through him alone? Well, now, those who do want to be refreshed in him. Day in and day out, they're longing to know more of him. They're longing to know more of his blessings upon them. So there's a third question for us to ask. Not just what are you longing for, nor just do you know the Saviour, but are you longing to know him, the Saviour, better? Are you longing to enjoy him more? Are you indeed experiencing more of his grace, kindness and mercy day by day? That is what we're called to know. It's this dynamic of knowing the Saviour and walking with the Saviour in this life. God isn't an intellectual concept to the believer. It's a personal relationship with him. And he with whom we have a personal relationship delights to refresh us. He delights it when you and I, to pick up the language we find in the book of Isaiah, are enabled to draw deeply from the wells of salvation and be refreshed in him. That's the second part of the verse. But what do we have in the first part of the verse? Well, in our translation, it begins, as you can see, with that simple word, yes. Now, what is the apostle doing at that point in time? He's building on what he has already said. That's why he uses the word yes. Now, what's he done in the preceding verses? He's got to the very heart of his request. He's been building up to it. And then in verses 17, 18 and 19, he has presented it straight clear to Philemon. If you consider me your partner, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. If he's wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of you owing me even your own self. Yes, he then says, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. You owe me, he says at the end of verse 19, even your own self. You see, he's speaking of the intimate relationship that exists between believers. They may be hundreds of miles apart, one in Colossae, modern-day Turkey area of the world, one in Rome, modern-day Italy area of the world. There's nations in between, especially the nation of Greece. There's waters, seas in between. The Aegean Sea, the Ionian Sea, the Adriatic Sea, which lead into the Mediterranean Sea. But yet, they're like that. They belong together. They're brothers in the Lord. And because they're brothers in the Lord, they owe something to each other. Yes, you owe me, even your own very self, he says to Philemon. Yes, because that is the case, I want you to refresh me in the Lord by giving me some benefit. Now, you'll notice at that point that he is rooting being refreshed by Philemon in an action to be performed by Philemon. In other words, he's not leaving things in airy-fairy world, as it were, up there in some sort of ether. He's grounding it in actions. Yes, I know, says Paul to Philemon, that you love me as a brother in the Lord. Well, demonstrate your love for me as a brother in the Lord. Demonstrate it by giving me some benefit in the Lord. Now, there's a dynamic for church life. This is what church life is all about. But what you sometimes find is that people have a very personal and very selfish, dare I say it, concept of church life. It's what I get out of it. That's what matters to some people. I just want it to be between me and God, is what other people say. Now, obviously, our relationship with God as individuals is fundamentally important. But that's not the be-all and end-all of it. We are adopted into a family, into the family of God, when we believe. That's when we know that we are adopted. It's the fruit of conversion. It's the fruit of being born again. It's the fruit of coming to a living faith. We are adopted into the family of God. Now, you and I know that if you were to see a human family that was or is dysfunctional, we would say things aren't right there. Now, Sandra will know in the courts, in the family court as well as in the criminal courts, that there's plenty of evidence that we can see of where families are not functioning as well as they could or ought. And we instinctively say, don't we, there's something not right. Why is that mother, that parent, that father, why is that parent not caring for their child in the right way? Why is that child not respecting his or her parents? Why has that child become a wild child in comparison to his brothers or sisters? Why does that brother not get on with his sister, or vice versa? You know the sorts of things that you and I can observe, and we instinctively say, there's something not right. Well, the same is true when it comes to church life. If people are not functioning rightly within the church, then church life is not what it ought to be. So here is Paul recognizing that. And he knows that Onesimus, the runaway slave who belonged to Philemon, has somehow or other ended up in Rome. And in Rome, he's met Paul, and Paul has been used of God to bring that man, to see that man come to a living faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul is aware that Onesimus has run away from Philemon. Paul is aware that in all probability, we're not given the details, he's done wrong to Philemon. Well, he's done wrong by running away in the first place, and he may well have helped himself to something to help him run away. So Paul knows, this man now having become a believer and my friend Philemon being a believer, he, Onesimus, should no longer see himself as just a bondservant to Philemon. He should see himself as a brother in the Lord to Philemon. But Philemon, on his part, should no longer see Onesimus as just a bondservant. He should now see him as a brother in the Lord, more than a bondservant. And so that relationship of bondservant begins to crumble because it's replaced by the brotherhood of believing. So refresh my heart in Christ. Give me a benefit. And the benefit he's specifically asking for is that he would have the joy of seeing Philemon receive back Onesimus as a dear, dear brother in the Lord. And he wants that relationship to blossom and flourish as it should amongst those who know the Lord. They used to say, so the history books tell us, that outsiders, unbelievers, would say of people in the churches, "See how they love one another. See how those Christians care for one another." Now, that may be what they notice most of all. But if Christians are truly loving and caring for each other, what is it an expression of? It's an expression of the fact that they know the love of the Lord in their own hearts, and they know the love of the Lord motivating them, moving them forward, showing them, impelling them to fulfill the will of the Lord for them. So here is the Apostle Paul speaking here of his inner longing. He wants to be refreshed right at the heart of his being. And right at the heart of his being, he wants spiritual refreshment, because he wants to be refreshed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we draw to a close, my friend, is that your desire? Is that your desire? That day in and day out, week in and week out, you would be refreshed in your inner being in Christ Jesus. My friends, there's nothing better. There's nothing more wonderful than to be refreshed in the inner man, the inner being, in the Lord Jesus, day in and day out. That should be our longing. Now, how can we know that as our longing? Well, obviously, we will never know it as our longing if we don't know the Lord. And so we need to seek the Lord while he may be found, if we're to know that longing. But then, if we've come to know the Lord, we need to keep close to the Lord. And we need to make sure that we are submitting at all times, faithfully and obediently, to the revealed will of the Lord as given in the scriptures. if you truly love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And what is his commandment? That you love one another as I love you. That's a mighty high standard, my friends. We are to love one another as the Saviour loves us. So Philemon, it's as though Paul is saying, I want you to deny yourself and I want you to refresh my heart in Christ, my inner being in Christ, by doing something that may not at first seem reasonable or right to you. There you are, an employer of a kind. You've got a bondservant, and the bondservant's run away and has possibly taken something with him to help him make his journey westward toward Rome, where he's ended up. And you may be inclined to say, I must punish him if he comes back. But no, I want you to refresh my heart in Christ. I want you to do something that only Christ can enable you to do. And that is to receive him as a dear brother in the Lord. So if you and I are going to refresh other people's hearts in Christ, as well as have our own hearts refreshed in Christ, we need to know the Lord and love the Lord and walk faithfully with the Lord. And not one of us should give up until we can say, I believe. I truly believe I've met the Saviour. I know that he loves me. I know that he is filling me with his peace and his joy. And I know the joy of the Lord is my strength, that joy inexpressible, full of glory. So what are we doing? That's another question we want to ask ourselves as we draw to a close. What are we actually doing? Are we those who are seeking to benefit others? Are we seeking to do that which is pleasing to God, that will help his people to walk more closely with him and to enjoy him more and more? Yes, brother, he says, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. And I dare to say, my friends, that we could even pray, Lord, when I meet with your people on the Lord's day, during the week, whenever, may I benefit from them. And may they benefit from me. Is that your thinking? That surely is an inference we can draw out from these verses, and especially this verse of Scripture. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful picture we have here of church life and of the relationship of believer with believer. Lord our God, we pray forgiveness for where we fall short, and we pray that you would correct us. And so we come before you, Lord, praying that you would forgive us for our mistakes and that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we would be those who refresh each other's hearts in Christ, who benefit each other in all that we think and say and do. May all be done, Lord, to your praise, to your honour, and your glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen.